As you know, the pandemic and the years of the shutdown really affected children and middle schoolers and teenagers in a negative way, especially teenage girls, according to a recent CDC report. So we thought we would check in with Brianna Massey. She is a clinician with Provident Behavioral Resources to give us a bit more information about that. Brianna, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Let's start out, in case our listeners don't know, what is Provident Behavioral Resources?
Sure. Provident Behavioral Health is a local agency here in the St. Louis area that provides counseling services, psychiatric services, in-school support, as well as a residential facility called Mary Ryder Home for older women. So we do a lot for the community, just trying to be there as a resource supporting both kids and adults.
And so is Provident Behavioral Health a place where anybody in our listening audience could get therapy if they wanted it?
Absolutely. Yeah. Anybody in the state of Missouri is able to contact us or go to our website, providentstl.org, and take a look at all that we have to offer and reach out if they're interested in any of our services.
So you don't need to have any kind of a referral?
Nope.
Okay.
They can
Wonderful.
Just give us a call.
Well, to what do we attribute this increase in these really alarming statistics?
Yeah, let me just share a couple of these statistics because it's quite distressing just to hear specifically the differences between some of our female students and male students. The female students are actually twice as likely than the male students to report not feeling close to their peers. The girl students are twice as likely to share that they are having a poor mental health day within the past month. Girl students are actually more likely to be utilizing substances, particularly alcohol. And I think that really, you know, there are many factors that can play into this. I know over the past couple of years, obviously, with students not being able to be in school in person full time has played a big factor into this. Girl students just really need that social support at the, you know, that teenage high school age range. It's just so important to be able to have those peer connections. They seek a lot of affirmation and support from their peers.
So I guess what a lot of parents and grandparents want to know is, can we be of any help to them? I mean, so many people are addicted to their phones, and mm-hmm. I'm not saying I'm not. But mm-hmm. in that developmental stage of being a teenager, I would imagine their sense of self-worth, sadly, comes from some of the stuff they're seeing on social media.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of comparison that goes into play. You know, how many likes do I have? How many followers do I have? And so I think for us, you know, as caregivers, parents, grandparents, teachers, you know, those of us that are adults in these teens' lives, I think, you know, one of the big things that we can do is find ways to validate their feelings, you know, understanding that these teens, that is their reality. That's the world that they live in now. And so if they're feeling upset about something, anxious about something, first and foremost, just being able to acknowledge those feelings and not dismiss them, that can help open the door for further conversation and being able to find small moments of connections with these teens. I think sometimes we expect ourselves to have big, long, lengthy dialogues. But it really is these small moments where, you know, take them out for ice cream, go for a walk around the block, you know, watch your favorite TV show together. And during those small interactions, hopefully that can open the door for more supportive communication.
What does this tell us, Brianna, about young men who are not as likely to open up about any kind of interior distress that they might be experiencing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I do think that, you know, mental health stigma is decreasing. You know, I do think that more people are reaching out for help, you know, even men. I think that there's just some differences that we see, you know, across students. But I think either way, any adult in a young man's life, in a young woman's life, just trying to say, hey, it's okay to reach out for help and being a role model. I think the important things when we think about kids and teens is that they're going to watch our actions more than listen to our words. And so if we are reaching out for help, if we're saying, hey, I'm having a rough day, or, hey, you know, I know I responded a little bit poorly, like, can you forgive me? Being able to be a role model, I think, is a huge, huge factor in trying to support all teens.
And can we talk a little bit about suicidal thoughts? Because the average person is frightened when someone they love has them, and we don't know what to say to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that it is so important when somebody does disclose suicide thoughts to try to stay calm and be thankful that they're opening up and sharing those things with us. You know, a lot of people have those thoughts because they don't know what else to do. You know, they don't have other coping strategies, and we want to help support them and give them other avenues. And so just being able to sit in those conversations, even though they're challenging, even though they can be scary. But if somebody is opening up to us, just saying, okay, thank you so much for sharing. You know, we are going to try to find some additional help, but know that I'm here to listen to you, you know, whenever needed. We don't want to shut down those dialogues.
And that is such an important point, because even younger children, when they hear about suicide and they think, they're just thinking about the word suicide, believe it or not, because they're too young, that, you know, they don't have the life experience to be able to distinguish between what we're talking about. And so I'm just glad that you said parents need to stay calm, because that is really important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
absolutely.
How can a parent or grandparent actually find out what's going on in a teenager's life? Brianna, Wendy and I watched that Netflix show, Euphoria, which just scared us half to death. And I know it's a TV show, and it was only about a certain group of teenagers and all the trouble they got into. Because, you know, teenagers don't like to talk to their parents.
Right.
No.
Yeah. And so I think part of it is accepting that we might not know 100%, you know, of what's happening. But my hope would be is that if a teenager is struggling, if there's something significant going on, that they feel comfortable enough going to at least one trusted adult. Right. So whether that's a parent, whether that's somebody at the school, at least one trusted adult that they can go to is a huge protective factor. And so I think parents expecting to know everything probably isn't realistic. But being able to, once again, have those small interactions frequently, you know, whether there's a daily interaction, even if it's just something small where you're setting up an environment that's comfortable, that's non-threatening. You know, as soon as a teenager feels like you're trying to interrogate them, they might shut down. And so just, you know, calmly, gently trying to bring up just small dialogues, and then don't push it, and then approach it the next day and the next day, and just making sure that the teen is aware, like, okay, I can go to this person about it. Like, they are asking some questions, and so when I'm ready, I can share with them.
Brianna Massey is a clinician with Provident Behavioral Health, which offers therapy for anyone within our listening area. You can go to providentstl.org. Brianna, can you explain what therapist-client confidentiality is about? How does it work? Because I know if there's a parent who says to the teenager, I'm taking you to therapy, both might be resistant for different reasons. How does therapist-client confidentiality work?
Sure. So therapist confidentiality is something that's addressed during that first appointment. So the therapist will bring the parent into the session and the teen into the session and just kind of talk about what those limits are. And really the therapist wants the teenager to feel comfortable sharing anything in the therapy room, you know, without thinking that we're going to go share everything with the parents. But there are some limits to that when we do have a concern for safety. If there is a significant concern for safety, then we would bring that to the parents. I know my style is more so I'd rather encourage the teenager to be able to share that directly with the parent instead of, you know, the therapist having to do that. We really want to bridge that communication gap between the child and the parent. And so just really trying to facilitate that and help that throughout the therapy process is really important.
But if there's a danger to the child or others, then, of course, what's your responsibility?
Yes, then our responsibility is to report that to you know, the appropriate authorities if there is a concern for the client safety or another, you know, person's safety, that we would be responsible to ensure that they are taken care of.
Just want parents to be aware of that in case they are unfamiliar. Brianna Massey is a clinician with Provident Behavioral Health. You can go online, providentstl.org. Brianna, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.